good to have you, Don. You know, whenever we go visit the churches, sometimes we walk out disappointed, but then sometimes we fit right on in like family. So we hope that you are our family.
Amen.
And it's just very, very good to have you. Thanks for coming. Like I said, I'm just standing in. Josh Freeman.
Oh, man, I'm a good preacher. Josh Freeman, yeah, he's got medical problems with his family. Okay. Very serious.
Keep him in prayer. I'm going to ask you a real big question. Wake you up a little bit. What's the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament?
What did you say?
What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? The difference that we have.
The Old Testament was under the law. We're under the law now.
We're under what?
Grace.
Truth and grace, yeah,
right on.
But I mean, when you hear someone say, maybe you haven't talked with someone, the God of the Old Testament seems harsh, you know, but the God of the New Testament seems loving. You know, what comes to mind? What have you said? What have you stated to people when they come to you with that?
To me, the Old Testament was a teaching tool for the people to be able to transition into the New Testament. And it was a prediction of Christ from Genesis all the way till Christ came. And I think it's a teaching tool for us today, too, because you hear a lot of Christians sometimes say, you know, we just really need to know the New Testament. No, you need to know the Old Testament as well. It's a teaching tool for us, and it was for the Jews back then as well.
That's true. Now, I know all y'all study. You study New and Old Testament. And when you look back at the Old Testament, and you look at the swift judgment that God gave, do you ever struggle with that? Do you ever struggle with, you know, taking over a city, killing everybody, women, children, and kill everything living in that city when you conquer it? Are there some things that you struggle with? Because people out in the world, they will look at that. Maybe it's for an excuse, maybe it's not. Maybe they just truly struggle with that. Because some of the things that God did in the past are kind of tough to swallow. Is that just me, or?
Well, when it comes to the children that were lost, we know that they're with him. Otherwise, had they not, they may not be with him. They'd want to be adults like their parents were, and worshiping pagan gods. They would not be with him. So only when we get there will we fully understand God's will and vision.
You say the Old Testament was our schoolmaster.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, they were under the law. They were under the truth and grace. We know this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. He's our rock. We take refuge in him. In the cleft of the rock, because he does not change. Who he is who he is. He is the great I am, and that never changes. Yes.
You say God's judgment was swift, but no, he was very lenient and gracious towards people, and he gave them many chances to repent and turn away from their sin. And so he has shown us that he's a long-suffering God. And then his action was swift against evil and his enemies.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, praise him for that, for the righteous people, right? That he took swift action against evil. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Well, the Old Testament, I mean, even the Bible teaches us it was imperfect. But it had to be put in place in order to hold those who followed God until Christ came. There had to be a way to preserve those that followed. Because when Christ died, he didn't just die for that time frame that he was here on earth. He died for the people under the Old Testament too. And those Christians had to, those people had to be somehow to have a way to repent of their sins until Christ came. But to repent of their sins was imperfect at that time, because it was done through animal blood and all of that. But when Christ came, he gave his blood once and for all. When Christ came, the perfect that God was talking about had come into play.
Right. Well, you know, Lynette was talking about, you know, evil and getting rid of it quickly.
Yeah.
And how that was, you know, he spared the righteous from that, like Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. He took them out of that situation. He destroyed all the evil. If you look at the law, if you look at the Torah, if you look what some of the penalties are for the Israelites.
Yeah.
And their sin. Some of those sins, you stone them to death. You kill them. That's one difference that I see. And I just wanted to bring up that, you know, God is a consuming fire. And he is the same and will always be the same. So what changed? The changing of the covenant changed. And aren't we so grateful that we live? You know, God chose this time for you to live. I'm so grateful that we live under Christ and not in the Old Testament. That's just me. We have grace. We have the truth. We have the history. We have it all. We are living in the end times. He's coming back. We are so, so blessed.
He knew that wasn't a perfect covenant.
Exactly.
Right. And that's why, and he knew that it would never sway the hearts of the people towards him.
Amen.
I mean, the rules were tough, let's admit it. And it was difficult for anybody to keep the whole law. And he knew the sacrifice of blood of animals was never going to get rid of their sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Hebrews and other places tells us that a more perfect covenant through Christ happened.
Yeah,
that's good.
Lost my train of thought.
Well, I'm looking through the Old Testament and I see. You know, it's some of the things are hard because we don't like death. We don't like the killing. We don't like the taking of life. But as much as we don't like it, it disturbs us. God doesn't like it that much more. God does not like the taking of life. It does not please him at all to take a life. So, being on this side of the cross and looking back, what a different perspective we have. We have, like I said, we have the whole. We know our Father, and looking back, that we can trust Him that He was sparing the righteous from the evil in the world that had to be taken out of, just like during the flood. So I've been studying the Old Testament, starting at Genesis. I don't know where I'm finishing. I guess in Malachi, but what I'm finding is that mercy that you're talking about. That throughout, God's mercy is there, you know. Maybe I just haven't been studying the Old Testament enough. And I'm just seeing more and more of how a merciful God we have. And it's been since the beginning of time, beginning of man, that he has had mercy on us. And I'm just amazed at it, and take comfort in it. He is the same. He's always been merciful. He's all, yes.
Well, I was just going to say, you have to, when you look at the Old Testament, and like Lynette said, God gave them plenty of chances. Anytime catastrophe was going to befall all the Jews, he always sent a messenger to warn them, change, you know, your ways, turn back to me. It was up to them to do it. Through all of this, even in the Old Testament, there was always free will for man. And God knew, and we have to remember, he looks at the hearts of men. He knew that there would be people that would continue to follow him, but he had to put something in place until that what was perfect was going to come. And that, I think, is the main purpose of the Old Testament. But it's also a teacher for us. And I used to be the same way, you know. We just lived by the New Testament. But when we had those Bible classes on Tuesday night, college Bible classes here, I've learned so much more to see how the Old Testament interacts with the New Testament. And then by doing that, some of the New Testament makes so much more sense because it interconnects.
There's no other book like it, or group of books. It's amazing how it's all woven together and interconnected with no contradiction. Yes. I don't know if you want to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, going all the way back to the beginning. Just want to look at some places where I found that mercy that God had for people in the Old Testament. And it's the same mercy that he has for us. In Genesis chapter 3, just verse 21, you know, they've eaten the fruit, they've seen that they were naked, and they tried to sew fig leaves together to cover themselves up. And in verse 21, someone got that? Read it.
The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them.
Okay. So they tried to sew fig leaves together. They weren't good enough. God decides that he's going to shed innocent blood as, you know, this is the first sacrifice that we can see. It's innocent blood to cover up sin. But God does that for them. And to me, that's amazing that he provides them with that. You know? They betray him. They go against his word, and then he kills an innocent animal, sheds innocent blood to cover up their sin. And so I just look at us, you know, that the blood of Christ covers up our sin. I mean, how many times does he do that? How many times does he cover all your sin? All of them.
And really, since the beginning of this first blood sacrifice.
It's amazing. It's such mercy and such grace. What were you going to say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you?
I was going to say that it's, here's the first blood sacrifice. And it there was blood sacrifice had to be made for sin all the way till Christ made the last to cover all for all times. And it reveals it had to be done for sin because Adam and Eve had just sinned. And throughout time, it needed to be a blood sacrifice to cover up sin.
Right.
Just like this one here, you know, covered up sin.
It's just amazing to me that he provides the cover. He provides the, he provides it. He provides the animals then, he provides his son now. For our mistakes, for our, I don't want to say mistakes, for our sin, for our evilness, and he covers it up.
Well, so you can see, so, you know, God is merciful,
yeah,
even with our sin, even with all those people who sinned against him, and he took them out. You know, he still shows mercy.
Always. It's his nature. I mean, that's who he is. I mean,
so he hasn't changed a bit.
He hasn't changed a bit. Although he is a consuming fire.
He sure is.
And the Old Testament does remind us of that. Mm-hmm. That God is serious. When he means what he says and says what he means. Mm-hmm. And when he says it, that's it. Mm-hmm. So we learn a lot about our Father in the Old Testament.
I think also we have to remember that sin has consequences. Even though it's sin can be forgiven, but it has consequences. You know, we can still have problems today. Even though we ask for forgiveness, but there's still consequences. There's still something we have to rectify for our sins.
But being forgiven by our Heavenly Father allows that to happen.
Exactly.
All right, well, if you turn to chapter 4, you look at Cain in Genesis chapter 4, 6 and 7. So we can read that.
The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it."
Okay, so we've talked, and I've been in many Bible classes that talk about, you know, what did Cain, what was his offering? What did he do? Cain didn't have the right heart. We see it through the story of his life. He ends up leaving the presence of God. That's one of the saddest scriptures you can find that I caught looking through, you know, studying the Old Testament or reading through it. It says that Cain left the presence of God. Now, I know that God made a judgment and, you know, he put the mark on him so no one was supposed to kill him. But he actually, now I don't know about you, but maybe I would be begging to stay. It just seems like it's different for him that he, when it says that he left the presence of God. Well, he never listened to him.
Well, and he had the choice, right?
Amen.
He did have the choice.
He had the choice.
I look at Almighty God speaking to him, and look how he's speaking to him. What would you compare that to? That kind of relationship.
You know, he was born and raised knowing that, them sacrifices. He knew it was supposed to be blood. Even from that big, I guess Adam taught him that.
Right.
From a bitty guy.
Yeah, they knew stuff that's not written down, and we can look at their actions and say, well, they knew God must have instructed them through the patriarchs. Yes.
You had asked, what does it remind you of? It reminds us of his father and mother in the garden. Cool of the day. God is talking to him. If I recall correctly, this is the only second time that God is maybe directly speaking to someone other than Adam. This is the first time after they left the garden. Mm-hmm. God is directly speaking. And when you talked about the mark, you know, like we said, his vengeance is God's vengeance is his vengeance. And he could have taken him and said, I'm wiping you off the earth. Even though he marked him, he still gave him all that time to make that change that he had in the beginning. If you're going to do it this way, you have time to come back around and do it another way. And he took the long road.
He took the wrong... Yeah, he did that. Did you say long road?
Long road. That was a long
road. Long and wrong. He went. But the fact that God didn't strike him dead,
He did what he did the opposite. He showed him love. He went to him.
Mm-hmm.
He told him. I don't know if he pleaded with him, but at least he informed him. But it just seems that to me is so merciful. He provided the sins for Adam and Eve. He provides counsel for Cain. What an amazing God. Look what we do with going against His word by having some kind of sorry sacrifice that half-hearted. And what does he do in return? You see the love and the mercy that He gives us in return. And to me, that is just amazing. Yes?
Well, for me, reading the story of Cain and Abel, God spoke to Cain before He killed Abel. And He told them, but if you do not what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and you must rule over it. Cain didn't rule over it. He just let his anger and jealousy fly. But God had just warned him of that.
Spoke to him like a son.
Rule over this. Don't do this. Don't do what you're planning on doing, you know. But he wouldn't listen.
Well, this is Almighty God speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't this just the same today? This is the same thing we have today. We have to rule over our sin.
Yes.
We do.
Or we're in deep trouble. God tells us that right here at the beginning.
Right.
Starts off.
Sounds like God's counseling him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what do we have?
We have the Bible.
We have the Bible.
God is speaking to us every day through the Bible.
Through the Bible.
They got the Holy Spirit living.
Amen, sister.
That's how we rule over it, because we can't do it by ourselves. We are nothing by ourselves. That's why Christ came. And when He left, He left the Holy Spirit with
Amen.
Us to help us. So we don't have an excuse. We don't. It's that free will.
Free will.
Because that on the other side sometimes feels so good. Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it tastes just... That's how the devil is. He's so cunning. He's going to make it so you want it. But we have that Holy Spirit in us, and we have to ask Him to help us. Help me.
Yeah.
I can't do it by myself.
I believe you, sister. Not everyone believes this. I believe.
Oh, yes, I do, too.
He's in me.
Oh, yes.
Don't tell me He's not.
Oh, yes.
And He can. But I mean, you can do nothing. There you go.
Well, Jerry, in Proverbs, what does it say time after time again about counsel?
Seek counsel.
Seek counsel. So we've got Satan giving us some counsel.
Uh-huh.
We've got the Holy Spirit giving us counsel. I'm not talking about the good angel, bad angel,
yeah.
But I'm talking about He who lives in us. With our conscience. Works together, and sometimes we listen. But if we're honest, sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
It's sad.
And we want what we want. We want what feels good. We want that right feel good right now. We don't want that long term feel good. We want it now.
But that
long term, way right now.
That long term is so, that joy. That's what we really
That's because you know we still don't understand. And that's why we have to stay in the Word. We have to constantly ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to the Word, because we still don't, you know, pretty soon I'll be 6 to 8 years old, and that's a lot I still don't understand, and I get in trouble.
Yeah, but you're growing. We're all growing, aren't we?
Yes, and I thank God for that growth, because it's not me.
Yeah.
It's not me, because it was left up to me.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Yes.
I was going to say, you know, kind of touching on what Charlotte was saying, we have to remember, what is our battle, really? What is our battle? It's our spirit fighting against the fleshly part of us. The body wants what the body wants, but we need to rule over it through the Holy Spirit, or with, if you want to put it another way, with the help of the Holy Spirit. We battle that part of our fleshly body. And therefore, if we live in the Spirit, that's the way it should be. But yet, A lot of times we give in to our body what it wants, whether it be gluttony or addiction to alcohol, whatever it is. We have to constantly battle against this.
Right.
And it's not going to stop until we at home with God.
And we're not making excuses.
No.
Saying this is what we're up against.
No. I think you have to be aware of what you're up against in order to fight it.
That's true. Got to know what you're fighting against. All right. Moving along to Abraham in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Somebody got that? Please, go ahead.
Sarah, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in to my unto my maid, and it may be that I may be obtained a child by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah.
Okay, so she figured she was going to... She had a different idea. Uh-huh. She had her own idea on how this was going to come about. We know the story, but how many times do we try to do God's work?
Uh-huh.
You talk about it tough. You talk about it... In this flesh, we struggle. And maybe with good intentions. But we don't wait on the Lord. And somehow we try to do it without Him like they were trying to do. And then what happened? The consequences that you were talking about. The consequences of that were extreme.
Well,
that was heartbreaking.
Jealousy came in place,
yeah.
And heart feelings talks to one another. It's like I say, every sin has consequences, and you have to deal with it.
But then God's mercy came back in.
It did come in. Hold on 1 second on that. But think about Sarah. Sarah
should have trusted the word of God when He said, "You will receive." Conceive.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And she did not. She laughed at it. Okay? So, did she believe it? I don't think so. I think that's the reason why she tried to either help God. I don't know what went through her mind, but.
What kind of sacrifice do you think it was to tell her husband to go to be with another woman? I think that might have been hard.
Yeah.
I mean, so you can have good intentions and you can. Think you're doing the, but you can go. You can actually try to take God's place, and that is we struggle with that. Where's the line between what I'm supposed to do and what God's supposed to do? Where is that line? And we step over it. Maybe we step over it a little more than we don't step up to our. I don't. Maybe we do both. I don't know if that makes sense, but. Stay out of God's way and let Him do what He's going to do.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He's going to do it right.
Yeah.
Right? There's no guarantee there.
Yeah. I have to go toward Abram. He also listened to bad counsel. He knew God's word. I mean, you know, we as wives, I know I can push my husband sometimes to what I would like him to do. And then I'm upset when he doesn't do it. But then in waiting, because he listened to what his counsel, praying that was God's counsel, and then it worked out in a totally different way in his favor. So I'm leaning toward Abram right here because he also knew,
mm-hmm.
and he listened to bad counsel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both messed up.
But the buck doesn't. Sarah wanted what she wanted,
right.
But Abram could have been. I'm gonna say he could have been the husband and say, "This is not what we should do."
Yes.
He could have pushed a little harder. He could have, and then that may have given her a chance to rethink her physical thoughts and her desires of what her heart wanted.
That's true. I bring this up because of what Lynette's saying about how merciful God is in the story of Abraham and Sarah. How they tried this and what happens? You know, Romans 8:28. You know, all things work for the good. He can make our mistakes. His will is going to be done, and we can make mistakes. And yes, we have consequences of our sins. And yes, they can stay with you the rest of your life. You know, that you regret. But He can turn that into something good. Yeah.
I think consequences can also be a teacher.
Absolutely. Pain.
Yeah, because it makes you think, you know. And I think Abraham, when God told him, get up and leave this country, leave your father and go, he got up and went. No problems with that. But yet, when his wife wanted a child, before God was ready to give it to her, he followed her. And I'm sure he realized the consequences that came and arose because of that. But yet, when he was asked to offer his son, he totally trusted in God at that time.
He did.
His faith was complete.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I think that sometimes consequences can teach you to rely on God. I've had it in my own life. Things I wanted to be done a certain way and went to God and asked for it, and God wouldn't give it to me. He made me go through what I was afraid of having to go through. But at the end, my faith had grown a whole lot because I realized I didn't have to go through this by myself. He was there all the way.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He takes us through this life. Yes.
And it wasn't about chance that the maid servant got pregnant. She just didn't just, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
God allowed this to happen for it to be that lesson learned.
Yeah.
You know, God allows our mistakes sometimes to happen.
Yeah.
So we can see who's doing the work.
Right.
You know.
You look at that sacrifice when he's willing to sacrifice his own son on the mountain. And that was great, you know. That's Abraham. That's like, I can't comprehend that kind of trust. I want to, but and then you look at the mistakes that he made. Like, again, it's part of our flesh, isn't it? But the relationship continued with Abraham. You know, we're a mess, but he loves us, and yes.
Sometimes we learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was why he allowed them to happen.
Yeah. Men ain't like that today. They say, hold on, I got to go back like this. They just did it. And he thanked my friend all week. He said, go, and they went.
Yeah. Tracy, I don't know if I want my life. All my mistakes put in. You know, we see their mistakes. That's the amazing thing. God shows us His creation, His mankind on their own versus with Him. You know, a mess without God, with God, powerful things happen, don't they? Yes.
I think, was somebody else? Okay, go ahead.
But Sarah is mentioned in Hebrews 11:11. It said that she considered God was faithful to her. So, despite what she did, Scripture still mentions her as being one of the righteous and the faithful.
She was. So
and
are you.
Believing that God was
so
righteous
are you, Lynette.
And faithful.
You know, so am I. It's amazing. It's just amazing. It just goes with the mercy and the grace. We can't.
So, despite our mistakes, there she is.
Yes.
There he is.
And I think, you know, we have to own our mistakes. And I go back to David. He owned his mistakes. If people made him aware of what he'd done, he owned it. And I think we need to do the same thing. If we do wrong, we got to own it and then confess them. A lot of people make excuses. Oh, if you hadn't said this to me, I wouldn't have done this to you. you know, always trying to look at Adam. The woman you gave me caused me to eat that apple, okay? Own your sin and then take it to God. Uh-huh. You can't make excuses. You did it. So stand up for it.
You know, Lynette was talking about Hebrews chapter 11. There's another woman in Hebrews chapter 11. That's Rahab. That's the last one I got here. By faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. So I've got a scripture from Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 in Joshua. Rahab's in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 31. The story is in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And I can read that. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Before the men lay down, she came up. So the spies are in her house. They're hiding up on the roof. So she goes up to, before the men they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard now, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, who were beyond the Jordan, to Shihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is a God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. This story of Rahab, out of all the houses that these spies could have gone to, they went to a prostitute's house. Yeah. I don't know what that means, but they went to her house out of all the people in Jericho.
You know, Jack, it also...
I'm sorry, they saved her from destruction.
It also shows that... God showed himself to other nations through his people.
Yes.
By how he dealt with them, how he rewarded them, how he gave them the lands. And she knew that. And by what she said, and that's my opinion, so if I'm wrong, by what she said to them, she believed in that God. And look what came out of her lineage.
Yeah, Rahab was in the line of Christ.
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, to me, it proved a whole lot of things. First of all, God is no respecter of people. It proved it right here. And then the rewards that come with believing in Him and relying on Him, it just, those, and that's why I'm saying the Old Testament is a good teacher for us today, too.
Absolutely. Are we any different than Rahab?
No.
Here she is. She's in a town or a city that is going to be destroyed. I mean, it's kind of like Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And God sends these spies into her house, and it saves her from destruction, total destruction. And you can look at your life, like. Somebody came into my life and opened the Word of God to me and saved me from destruction, you know. I was no better than a prostitute. I was a sinner. And someone came. God sent someone.
Amen.
God sent someone just like He sent these spies. I just look at that, and I hope we all do, and I know we do. How merciful God has been to us by revealing His Son to us that we could have eternal life. Is that not mercy?
Amen.
Yeah. But it goes all the way back to the garden, all the way to the first man and woman that he showed mercy. He has showed mercy. You talk about long suffering. Wow, does he suffer with mankind? And has.
Yeah, it also shows that no matter what your sin is, God is not far from you. He always gives you a chance to return to Him.
When she hung out the window that little scarlet cord. You know, is that red? Is that blood red? Or
yeah.
You got the Passover, then you got the last Passover, Jesus and His blood. She hung that scarlet cord out, and they knew which place she would be at, which where her house was. What do we got?
See, something pricked her heart when she saw the destruction that God had wrought on those other peoples. Yeah. And she knew. Yeah. She knew there was no power greater than the Lord Almighty. And somehow she knew that. And so that bridged the gap for her.
What sign? She had a red cord. What do we have?
We have a red cord, the blood of Christ.
We have the blood. I need to be covered in the blood of Christ. You need to be. That's what purifies us, right? Which goes to, you've got the cord, you've got the Passover, all these connections.
It always connects.
And it comes down to blood. Innocent blood. It took innocent blood to save us from this. So I just want to show you what I've been looking at.
Okay.
I know that there are people out there that will use the Old Testament and say how there's a mean God, or they don't see the mercy. And when I saw the mercy, I was like, wow, I've never seen so. I guess it's, once you start seeing it, now I'm going to see it more and more through the Old Testament scriptures. It just tells me more about my heaven. Your heavenly Father, about His goodness, about His mercy, about His grace. That's who He is. Yes.
People who use the Bible against us are people who pick and choose their verses and don't read it in context.
Yep, exactly.
So
it might be
that they see the whole book, the whole paragraph.
Yeah, they do that all the time. Mm-hmm. But it might be that person that is open, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people are taught some stuff that's just not so.
Yeah.
It's on the internet. You know, I'll watch reels on, and there's some good connections that they make with new and old and these fascinating things. Like, wow, I never saw that before, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of wrong teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think younger generations would rather have it fed to them in little 3-second or 30-second bites, you know, than study the Bible.
Yes.
Right, friends? I mean, the Bible. By studying the Word of God, where you get the truth instead of hearing it from somebody else. But we could be the ones to show them. This is how mercy.
Yeah.
This God of the entire world that created everything in existence wants you to be saved, wants you to have a relationship with Him. There are people out there, but there are a lot of people that use that excuse for bad reasons and don't want to hear the truth. I'm just saying that there are some people that we could plant a seed of doubt in their misinformation. And we're doing it with the truth. We're sowers. Anybody got anything else?
Oh, good, Chuck. Thank you.
Okay. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.